Psalm 86, a prayer of David. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Jehovah, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Jehovah. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life, and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant, and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Jehovah, have helped me and comforted me. Here in Psalm 86, we have what's titled a prayer of David. And it obviously is a prayer. It's very clearly calling upon God the Father, calling upon Him both in worship, we'll say it, in praise and honoring Him, but also a request, petitions for deliverance and for strength. It's a prayer of David. It was written by David, but it's not primarily about him, even though it was a prayer in his life. Because in the covenant and in the prayer, he wasn't looking just to Jehovah God, just to the Father, but he was looking through the covenant of grace towards his descendant and his master to come, Jesus. We know that he did this throughout the Psalms, as spoken of in the New Testament, where David speaks to my Lord, in which case it couldn't have been him. Who would it have been? And it would have been Jesus. Now, here in this Psalm, I found it interesting as I went through there, the mixture of what we see all cap Lord and lowercase lords. The difference between Jehovah or Yahweh, the covenant name of God, and Adonai, which is a title or an office of just master. Now it starts, bow down your ear, O Jehovah, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. Now David knew he was not a holy man. He knew that God, well later in his life at least, God told him he couldn't build the temple because he was a man of blood. He had been accused and he had been able to see himself as guilty of murder, adultery, many other crimes throughout. When he was in the wild, he had turned to, well, murder and robbery for a time. So David was not a holy man, and he knew that. But he also knew that in the covenant, through the promised one to come, the Messiah, which is just, an anglicized Hebrew for Christ, which means the anointed one, through him, he was made holy, through the act of the Lamb of God who was to come. And he knew that Jehovah could preserve his life and would, because he had promised, because he had been made holy in the Messiah. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts you and be merciful to me, O Lord. And here he's not just calling upon God as Savior or the one in the covenant who provides salvation, but he's acknowledging him as Master as well. In the Bible, anywhere you look in the Bible, this question of can you have Christ as Savior and not as Lord does not come up. It is not spoken of as something that's unsettled. It's never mentioned that such a thing as a carnal Christian exists. Just Christians as humans, not perfectionists, but neither are we those who say that obedience is a second work of grace after salvation. In the Bible, the Messiah is your master. Or, if, as later in the psalm, they have not set you before them, then there is no salvation. Excuse me. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cried you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Now this goes out to any here who are listening who is not in the covenant. If you have not been forgiven by God, here's the word of God himself through the mouth of David at this time. But it's the word of God in the person of Christ. There is salvation. Salvation's available. The Father is quick to forgive and ready to forgive. Long-suffering and merciful. Turn to the Messiah. Lay your sins upon him. Learn to follow the Lord, who then would, well, inform your life. Get that new heart. Give ear, O Jehovah, and here again we start with the name of God, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Now the heathens pray, hoping that God hears, hoping that God will respond. The Roman Catholics pray that if they do the right things and say the right words often enough, he'll hear and respond. But the one who knows God knows that God loves us and hears. And will always do what's best for us, even if it's not what we would have chosen, even if we don't understand it, he will answer. Among the gods there is none like you, Jehovah, or no, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. Now in a polytheistic culture where David lived, there were names of other gods that were available. But there are none like Jehovah among them because he's real. Now were the heathen gods real? I tend to think they were. But they're demons, not gods. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Another thing that sets Jehovah apart is the universality of his claims. He's not the God of a particular area or a particular tribe. He is the God of all the nations. And again, as you've seen over and over in the book of Psalms, here is this claim made in the Old Testament that all nations will come to the gospel. That Jehovah, Yahweh, is not just the God of the Jews and was never thought that way by the believers and prophets among Israel. Teach me your way, O Jehovah, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Shall we obey God? Yes. And we should do it out of love, out of respect, out of thanks for the salvation that he's provided. But there still is an element of fear, that we respect his name, that we know him for what he is, and we don't want to anger him. I will glorify your name forevermore, for great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. This is another way the Jews are often slandered in the Old Testament, thinking that at the end of life, that's all there was. And that when they passed, they were done. And David slept with his fathers. And then so-and-so slept with his fathers. You read through the books in the Old Testament. But here David, through Christ, knows that there will be a resurrection. David spoke of that when the baby died between him and Bathsheba, the first child. We hear Job speak of the same thing when he says that in my skin I will see my Redeemer. There was a resurrection known in the Old Testament. The gospel, not in its fullness. But the gospel and the attendant facts of it were known to the people in the Old Testament. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, and again, Master, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Again, people, God's ready to forgive. Turn to Christ. O turn to me and have mercy to me, or on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Now that phrase should tell you this is Jesus talking, not David. Looking to the coming trials he would go through. And again, in the covenant, see the rebirth and salvation of his people in it. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed. I think the resurrection fit that. Because you, Jehovah, have helped me and comforted me. Now, these are the words of Jesus, but they are an appropriate prayer entirely for any Christian who finds themselves in times of trouble, being oppressed by anyone. Many times in David's life, these words were appropriate. Coming to God as holy, not in yourselves, people, but through Christ. This is a prayer to a God who hears, who will hear, a God who will answer, and a God that we can have comfort in will do what's best for us and deliver us one way or another. So we'll sing the first part of this, and again, sing it as a prayer. Sing it as a praise, not just as a hymn.